go. There's the time.
Okay, everybody, it's 4:31 by our clock here on the wall. And I call the regular board meeting of the Roland Unified School District Board to order. It's July 27th. Roll call in attendance.
Sure. Angelina Pride. David Malkin.
Present.
Donna Friedman.
Here.
Carrie Chen.
Here.
Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
All board members are present.
Are there any corrections or additions to the agenda?
There is a correction to the agenda on the Human Resources Action Report, which is item 8D7. The correct item has been already uploaded. However, I wanted to bring it to the board's attention. There were four corrections, and that note of corrections is at your table setting. So there were four different employees that needed some corrections, and it is correct electronically online.
Are there any others? Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda of the regular board meeting of Thursday, July 27th, 2017, with the correction as stipulated? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments on closed session?
None have been received.
Seeing none, we're going to adjourn to closed session at 4:32. Did you turn the mic on? Did you turn the thing on?
Please repeat with me. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, it's with pleasure I have a closed session report tonight. The first one is on a motion by Donna Friedman and a second by Angelina Pride. The Board of Education approved the promotion of June Sakaway to the position of elementary principal, effective July 28, 2017. And the vote was as follows. Carrie Chen, yes. Lynn Ebenkamp, yes. Donna Friedman, yes. David Malkin, yes. And Angelina Pride, yes. The second item, on a motion by Donna Friedman and a second by Angelina Pride, the Board of Education approved the appointment of Kimberly Sandoval to the position of High School Assistant Principal effective July 28, 2017. The vote was as follows. Carrie Chen, yes. Lynn Ebenkamp, yes. Donna Friedman, yes. David Malkin, yes. And Angelina Pride. I'd like to have both. Should we have them?
I have it already in my report.
Oh, never mind. So congratulations and enjoy your new positions. Dr. Mitchell? Can we have your superintendent's report?
Certainly. Thank you very much. Well, good evening, and thank you very much to the board for coming for a summer meeting. Oftentimes, we do not have a meeting in July, but as you can tell from the action this evening of personnel, there was a need for us to meet in July, so thank you for doing that. And just because it's summer, it doesn't mean that students and staff in our district are taking a hiatus on learning. Our staff has been engaged in learning and trainings both near and far to improve our knowledge and implementation of technology integration, lesson design and delivery, mathematical practices, writers and readers workshop models, equity and English language learners, as well as many other topics. Our elementary students and community have been provided with many opportunities to extend and continue learning throughout the summer. Elementary students experienced learning in a fresh and innovative manner based around the theme Seeds of Science in summer school. Students were given the opportunity to reinforce their reading, writing, and math skills by using science as the vehicle for learning, which included greater hands-on and inquiry-based learning and promoted the expanded use of dialogue and academic vocabulary. Additionally, students participated in makerspace and STEM activities where students were able to experiment around chemical reactions, simple circuitry, and building their own robots. We also offered debate and robotics showcase. Through debate, students argued both sides of issues, such as should the United States ban the penny, or should we have high-speed railway, and should students be allowed to film their professor or their teacher. Through robotics, students expanded their science, technology, engineering, and math skills using high-quality hardware to build a Raspberry Pi, self-driving robotic car, and program using Python. The arts were also alive and well, where students in kinder through grade 8 took part in a 3-week arts program, participating in and developing appreciation in culinary arts, digital arts, visual arts, drawing and painting, vocal arts, dramatic arts, and dance. The overarching theme was based on the musical Annie. Additionally, in the area of arts, Hurley Elementary hosted the arts camp in early June. The youngest learners were accompanied by their parents or an adult relative or friend, which encouraged play and interaction through the arts. Students participated in dance, singing, art, and more. Our intermediate students in 7th and 8th grade participated in courses to help them prepare for their new school setting, as well as provide either a jump start or some remediation in preparation for the coming school year. We also entered into a collaborative continued relationship with our ROP program to offer some computer science classes at the middle school 7th and 8th grade level. Our high school students, our three high schools, were very full this summer, offering students opportunities for advancement as well as makeup courses. Approximately 2,300 high school students participate in summer learning this summer. Additionally, we had 150 students, elementary through high school, attending classes at USC. This is our first year providing the opportunity for our students to take classes primarily in science and STEM areas on a college campus in partnership with the university. Lastly, in addition to the learning in K-12, our community education programs were in full swing, offering swimming lessons, exercise classes, golf, English language development. All adult and community classes are available through RACE, Roland Adult and Community Education Program. On Monday, we welcomed back our district leadership team and our school office managers, and everyone has jumped in to prepare for the opening of school. Our students return to school on August 14th, will be the first day of school. I would like to introduce to the community some familiar role and staff members who are going to be starting in new positions and taking on new role effective tomorrow for some of you. So we have first, as our president, Lynn Ebenkamp, had shared, Mr. Greg Perez. In a previous meeting, the board approved his appointment to leaving his post as the assistant principal at Roland High School and taking the helm at Santana High School, serving as the principal. Greg, welcome, and could you say a few words?
I wanted to thank the board for this wonderful opportunity. I look forward to serving the district and the community in this new position. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. Also, at our meeting in June, the board approved the appointment of Mrs. Amy Grigsby. Amy has moved from the assistant principal position at Yorbita to the principal position, so she will be leading Yorbita after the retirement of Sylvia Cadena. Congratulations, Amy.
Thank you very much. I want to thank the board also for this great opportunity and wonderful job that I'm going to be walking into. And so I do promise that I will do my very best to please the students and welcome them in on the very first day of school. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. As announced this evening, just a few minutes ago, Dr. June Sakaui has been appointed to the principal position, and she'll be serving in that capacity at Blandford Elementary School. Welcome, June.
Good evening. I'd like to thank the board, Dr. Mitchell, and the cabinet for this opportunity to be a leader in the Roland Unified School District. I'm really looking forward to working with the Blandford community so we can serve all of our students. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. And last this evening, but certainly not least, also announced tonight was Kim Sandoval moving from her current role as an instructional coach in our district to the assistant principalship at Roland High School, which is also her alma mater. Welcome, Kim.
I'm so ecstatic, but thank you for the opportunity. I'd like to also thank the board for the opportunity. I, like you said, I'm proud alumni of Roland Unified and Roland High School, and I'm completely excited. This is a dream come true to come back and to serve at the community that I grew up in. So thank you very much.
Perfect. Thank you. And that concludes my report for this evening.
Thank you very much. Somebody's excited, and she's congratulating everybody.
All right.
All right. Oh, really? How wonderful. All right. It's a small world, isn't it?
Perfect.
Okay.
Make sure you get individual photos of them outside and group. Okay. Thank you.
And we'll move on to our next item, which is Music for All program reflections and planning for 2017-18 school year. Miriam Kim, the Director of Elementary Education, will give us the report.
We're just going to transition our slide presentation and get us ready to go.
Not up here. You can all stand up and stretch if you'd like.
Yeah.
Whoa, too much fun out there.
Excited.
Good evening. Good evening, Board President, Board members, Dr. Mitchell, community members. As stated before, my name is Miriam Kim. I'm the Director of Elementary Education, and I'm here to present to you tonight a status update of our music program. Before I go into the details of what we've done for Music for All this year, I wanted to just take a quick look by looking back at our previous music program. As you know, Roland has always had a rich history in music. We've always appreciated music in Roland, and when others were making cuts in music, we made a point to keep music. Some of the aspects were that music began in fourth grade, and another aspect was the fact that students, they were pulled out of the class and the parents then had to make a decision when it came to music instruction. Should they have their child participate in the core instruction program, or should they have their child participate in the music program? So that was another factor. Also, parents had to be responsible to either purchase or rent an instrument for their child if they wanted their child to participate. And primarily, the music program was mostly instrumental. Okay, so that's some of the aspects of our music program in the past. So if we come to present day, we now have Music for All, which began in the 2016-17 school year. Through the direction and the vision of the board, we created a much more robust program for music. We scaled up very quickly. We went from serving a few hundred to serving thousands of students. We also gave parents the options of having their students participate in these opportunities by providing the opportunity of being able to receive an instrument through the district. Also, children as young as six now have the opportunity to be exposed to music instruction. Every child beginning in fourth grade has an opportunity to self-select an instrument if so desired. We also realized that with our VAPA program, the Visual Arts Performing Arts program, we needed additional support, so we hired on Brian Tacchino as the program specialist for this. And students were able to participate in a rich learning opportunity, and through this, teachers, the general education teachers, were able to receive an additional time of planning at their sites. So instead of just having one time of planning in the past provided by PE, now we have two times of planning, because we know what research says about first best instruction and allowing teachers to plan and collaborate with one another, so this allowed for an increase in that planning time. We also scaled up the number of music teachers from 6 to 11. So those are some of the aspects of our new Music for All program. So as your director of elementary education, I had an opportunity to go out and speak to our constituents. I was able to speak to students, I was able to speak to parents, and also able to speak to the teachers about the Music for All program. Along with myself, Brian Tacchino also had that opportunity. And so if we take a look at what some of our students said that they really liked the fact that they were able to now show off their talents. Some of you have been able to see some of the talents at the music programs here that we have, and they really enjoyed that part. Another thing that students said is now having music beginning in the primary grades, they didn't realize how much they liked music, and maybe now they saw themselves doing something more with music, maybe staying with music all the way through high school, maybe even seeing themselves in the music industry in the future. So that opened up a whole new world for them. However, there were some things that students had suggestions on. For example, is it possible, and they do understand that there are songs that they have to learn, it's part of the curriculum, songs from the about the history, but could they possibly learn some more modern songs, certain songs that you hear on the radio right now, songs that possibly mom and dad might not know, but that they're really comfortable with? So that was a suggestion from some of the students. And can I have music more than one time a week because I really liked it? For our parents, they appreciated the fact that every student had a chance to learn about the different instruments. Our music teachers went into every site and did many presentations, showed every instrument, let the kids hear them, see them, touch them, feel them, so that in the end, when the students did choose to self-select, they would know which instrument they had a greater affinity for. And again, the fact that every child was now allowed to participate, that was huge for our parents. They did have some questions and suggestions for their primary children. Is it possible to do some type of a choir for the students because they're not really learning an instrument yet in the primary grades? But the kids love to sing. They sing in the car, sing at home, sing everywhere. Is there a chance for our kids to maybe showcase talents that way? And the other thing that came up quite a bit was our music festivals. While they love it, they love having their kids' talent showcase, they talked about how crowded it was. They talked about how couldn't find a spot in the parking lot. They couldn't find space inside the auditorium. Because you know they invited mom, dad, aunt, uncle, big sis, little sis, big brother, little brother, neighbor across the street. Everybody was invited, but there wasn't always room at the inn for everybody. So that was something that came up quite a bit. The other thing, our next group of constituents are teachers. They appreciated the fact that now music teachers got to go to all the sites, they got to know where the sites were, and they got to put faces to the names and get to know everybody who's on that site now. I've heard of Via Corta, but I've never been there. But now I'm actually there. I see the kids. I know the staff members now. So that was really nice. And the fact that music was expanding for everybody, they, not only did the elementary teachers love it, but I have to tell you, our secondary teachers, they especially were excited for this because they know that if we create a good, strong crop of music kids at the elementary, they're going to stick with it, and those will be their students when they come up to the middle and the high school grades. Now, there were some things also that weren't so fabulous. Our music teachers told us that our travel times were difficult, that it was hard sometimes to get from one point A to point B. We had road closures. Sometimes there was traffic, getting everything packed up in the classroom and then taking it out on your wagon and then unpacking it. So that was something that came up. And the other thing that also came up was while our teachers are experts in their field, they are credentialed teachers in music, we did adopt a new music curriculum called Game Plan last year, and so they wanted more PD around it because they were not familiar with it. So those are just some of the things that came up. So here were some direct quotes and shout outs from our constituent groups. Our students said things like, I liked playing an instrument, the music games were fun. Parents said that the fact that every child had to take music was a big bonus. Exposure was important. Exposure is good. Even if their child didn't choose to go into music later, at least they've had the exposure. They learn about rhythm. They learn about the different instruments. They know about these things now. Again, RUSD giving the opportunity to provide instruments if needed was a big bonus as well. Our teacher said bringing music to everyone was a great idea, and most especially having students being excited for the music program. They love seeing the fact that kids wanted to be there and see them every week when they came in. So, while things were good, there were also some things that maybe were not so good, that we'll own up to. And again, when you scale up to these proportions so quickly, there were some things that in hindsight, if we could, we'd go back and we'd make it better. And so here are some of the lessons that we learned. We learned that our bell schedules sometimes were maybe not the most conducive to all of our traveling that we did, which then goes to the next point of travel times. You're trying to, again, get from one place to another, and sometimes you're squeezing in. So that was another thing that came up quite a bit. Instrument distribution. How do we get our instruments into the hands of our students quickly? Hurry up. They want them. They want to play with them. So how can we improve that? Room space, a dedicated room for music. You know, to be honest, this is going to be an area where we may have some difficulties because some of our schools are highly impacted with their attendance. So to have just a room dedicated just for music, that still might be an issue in some places. Communication. I've always heard, you know, whenever I did surveys, you've got to improve your communication. Well, we hear that. We understand that. How we communicate to our students, how do we communicate to our parents, our teachers, our music teachers within their own colleagues, how can we improve that? So we're looking at ways to make that better. And materials, again, game plan materials, making sure that everybody has what they need, what the students need, and again, getting the instruments into their hands. And lastly, student work. As you know, visual performing arts, the big part is making sure that kids can show off their talents, what they've learned. Parents want to see this, but how can we do that? We don't have a venue that's big enough to hold all our thousands of students at once. So what are some things that we can do to make sure that we address this? So those were some of those bumps in the road that we've come across and we're learning and we're trying to fix. So how did we fix these, or how are we addressing these? Well, we worked very closely with the ARE and the board to get their input regarding the schedules. That was very important to make sure that teachers had enough time to travel and get there safely and prepared for the next class. We also heard them loud and clear when it came to music. We actually have a game plan consultant expert coming in that first week of teacher training to work exclusively with our music teachers around the new curriculum. We also made sure that we sought out student preferences for their instruments much earlier. We did it before the school ended. So we already have that information. We didn't have to wait for school to start. And we're working on a music distribution plan because now most of the forms have been in. We've already collected them. Parents could go online and tell us what their child preferred. And if parents did not have access to a device, they were able to go to the site and receive a hard copy and fill that out. So because most of the forms are in, we're looking at right now currently to balance those music classes. We're going to tag those instruments and palette them by school. Loan agreements will be given out on the very first day. And the second week, the instruments go home. And the third week, they get to start playing. So we worked on a plan, and that's where we'd like to begin. And we also made sure that with these schedules and making sure it fits and supports everybody, we worked very closely with our site administrators as well. They were very flexible with us. If they needed to move lunch 5 minutes ahead or move recess 2 minutes later, things like that, they totally worked with us. Also, I want to thank nutrition services and transportation. They did the same thing too. If breakfast needed to start later or earlier, or lunch needed to be moved back by a few minutes, everybody was very accommodating to make sure that we could support this program. And looking at concert opportunities, again, because we don't have that venue to house everyone, we're looking at ideas. For example, maybe the small group of students at each site can do something at their school at a student assembly during the day. Perhaps they can play for a PTA-PTO meeting night. Perhaps they can do it at a family night, a math night, a science night, different ways to showcase student talent, because parents, again, want to see what their students have been learning. And there's some music. That's okay. We like music. And most importantly, at the for our Music for All program, we want to make sure that we remain proactive, that we monitor this program throughout the year, beginning day one of our second year, to make sure that it just continues to get better. As we believe in this music program, we want to make it better for all of our students. So I know the students look forward to it. I know the parents look forward to it. I know the board is looking forward to all the growth and the great things that will happen. And I look forward to bringing any updates about the program as they do come up. And so I thank you for your time. And if there are any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Mrs. Pride?
Yes.
Just a couple of questions. Yes. On the what we heard slide, when you receive feedback from the parents, yes, one of the concerns was choir for primary grades. They wanted to know if that was a possibility of being an option. Is it?
We can certainly take a look at it. Brian Tacchino has strong background in choir. So we'll be talking to him, getting his opinion, input into what could that even look like for our students, so that, you know, nothing's off the table.
Okay. Thank you. So one of the things, just to further answer the question, because it was something that had come up, that we thought that we needed a second year to run our program with general music, but our music teachers in general music will be they do sing in that, but our opportunity that our students also have an opportunity for an additional night of music teaching and learning and practice. One night is for strings and one night is for band. And our music teachers teach that class. It's free of charge to parents, but it's at one central location in the district. And so there has been some discussion about could we do an evening like that for a district choir program? But again, there's a lot of conversation, but nothing that has been implemented to start now, because we realized we already are still chewing on a very large bite of implementation of Music for All. But it's nice to hear that there's been that interest.
Thank you. My other question, same slide, is the teachers asked, would there be more PD around music curriculum? Will there be?
Well, we're starting off our first week back on August 8th with the game plan consultants. So they're going to have a full 8 to 3 training session with them. And so we'll go from there based on feedback from that. If they feel like they've got a good handle on it, then we're good. If not, we'll continue to look at what we need to do to support them.
Thank you. And then my final question is the instruments, when we collected them, did they all come back and were they in good shape?
I have to say almost all of them came back, and actually some of them came back looking like they were brand new, which might not be happy for the parents, because that means that maybe their child didn't really practice enough.
Right.
But most of them, I would say, did come back in really good condition.
And how do we handle it when an instrument is not returned?
So that's what we're working on to follow up with. We need to make sure that, first of all, where did that student go? Are they still there? Did they not get the communication? And making phone calls and touching base with the families just to see, okay, we realize you didn't turn in the instrument. Can we just take a look at it? And is this something you still want? Are you selecting a different instrument? So we're still in the process of getting that back.
Great. Thank you.
So ultimately, it'll be handled. If it doesn't return, it'll be handled like not returning a textbook in terms of a debt.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Malcolm?
For the people that participated in the survey, will they get some feedback as to the findings?
I'm sorry?
Will they get feedback as to the findings of the survey, the ones that participated, like the parents? And
we can certainly provide that.
And a lot of it was anonymous. So,
oh, okay.
So no, they won't get it.
Or even if it's anonymous, if we can just do a newsletter or something that's available for the, you know, for them to read, that we took a survey and these are the results. I think it's important that they get some feedback. The wanting to sing modern songs. I realize that there is a curriculum and there's a certain logical order you have to follow. But at the same time, if the child doesn't enjoy what he's doing, then he might not do it anymore. Is there a way to work some modern songs in the curriculum?
Well, I'm assuming that with the game plan curriculum, and as they learn the songs, as long as they get some of the concepts down, I'm sure our teachers would be more than open to sharing and learning about some of these new songs. And the kids have lots of ideas. They know every song that you can think of that comes off the radio. We'll just have to make sure they're the clean ones.
Maybe some movie songs. Mrs. Friedman?
Just to comment, I think that all the issues were addressed, and I think it's going to be a wonderful music program this year. So thank you very much for all your hard work.
Mr. Chen?
I have a question about the selection. You hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I have a question about the selection of the instruments. Select the right instrument is very important for the kid, and for the young kids, they may not know all the instruments. So if you just put all the different kind of instrument, brass, woodwind, string in front of and tell them, let them play and select, may not be a good choice for them because they don't know. They just like the sound or they like the shape. And we need guidance. We need teachers' guidance to help them to select the right instrument. Once they select the instrument and played it, and if the right instrument, you like it because every children physically they may fit for certain kind of instrument, maybe for flutes, but not string, not violin. Then and so I think what kind of guidance? How do you guide the kids?
Well, certainly not all of our students, mm-hmm. want an instrument. I tried desperately to make my own son pick up an instrument that he was not going to have anything to do with it. So having these options are great. We have the general music, the band, and the strings. All of our music teachers go to every single site. They do these presentations. They play every instrument that the students are able to rent that we have available for borrow or renting or whatever the music stores can purchase for our program. They present them. They play them. They let the students see them, touch them, feel them, so that the students have a little more understanding as to what they might like to play. Now, certainly some students, after they pick it up for a year, come back and go, I think I really want the clarinet instead of the violin. And that's up to them between their parents to decide whether or not they want to continue with that instrument or get a new instrument. So when you're a first-time music player, I can understand where you might not realize you think you love the violin, but 3 months into it, 6 months, 8 months later, you think, oh, that's not quite for me. But our teachers continuously work with the students, help them, they practice to see if the students really want to stick with it or not.
Okay. Thank you.
My turn. Getting this music program off the ground was a huge undertaking, and we as a board understand that. The other thing as a board member people need to realize is how many complaints you hear. You don't hear the good things, you hear the bad things. Everybody tells us what's wrong with something. They don't take the time to say, you know, we've had a few kinks, but we're working on it. So I have to take my hat that I don't have on off to you and to the staff for getting it off to a good start. We knew there were going to be some problems. One thing that was told to me was that part of the pickup problem of the musics was the parents weren't picking them up because it didn't seem like the teachers were encouraging them on a timely basis to get in and pick them up. Now, if the teachers want to have a good program, this is their responsibility too, and I don't know how Bryant might want to accomplish that through all staff, but, you know, they all need to be able to start when they need to start because otherwise they're behind. And we've gone to the expense of getting these instruments, and I think once the kids get them, they love them. And I want to tell you, the fact that you recognize these problems and that you've tried to solve each and every one, we know you can't solve every one. This is just our second year. But the fact that you've addressed all of them, knowing which ones maybe you're not going to be able to do much with, like physically with the environment, I think this year is going to be a great year for our music program, and I want to thank everybody, all staff and administration.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, written request to address the board. I'll just read my little statement first. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended further or limited by vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes, unless extended by the board, is allocated for each subject discussed. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentations, and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a presentation. Dr. Mitchell, do we have any?
We have two.
Okay. First, we have Roy Humphreys.
Good evening, and thanks to the board and the staff for all the good things that they do. Item number two is noted in the warrants of 8C10. The payroll warrants were had fund sites for bond funds 2006-2012, which I find troubling. And was not the bond for 2006 closed, whereupon Mr. Flores asked for $25,000 for a closing audit. I guess it's something for the Oversight Committee people to address. Item three, the violation of public trust, as noted by Mr. Flores at the crying enraged woman meeting, brings to mind that in Florida, violation of the public trust can be prosecuted as a felony. I find that the one-story, no-toilet building situation is cause to have those who signed off on it find other means of employment. Is not ignoring the failure and failure to immediately act on the findings of the 2008 FACMAT report of such violation. And item 6D the inclusion of transparency as a core value. I was noted in the letter to the individual requesting that, which happened to be Roy Humphreys, by the way. It was noted in that return that all the stakeholders, to include students, which the district is supposed to be leading and teaching via a professional public business entity, a school district. They even included a student-centered focus, which I think is quite obvious is your job description. Somehow the term transparency was left to development in June of 2017 and hidden from view in the district direction number 3. Excuse me, we don't have anything to hide here at Roland Unified. My fellow Americans, to err is human, and obviously the kids and parents erred. But paid professionals and elected officials missing the boat in the 21st century is a bit much. And to that point, I say, let's stop the pointing fingers and just cure the long overdue oversight. True transparency is the linchpin to all of the other core values and has been replete in the unending news items throughout California's troubled school systems as the missing link. And last but not least, got 30 seconds here. This is, notes the mindset and character of a district which refuses to video record and publish district public meetings, a la the board meeting tonight. But as noted in the Tribune, Azusa Unified School District is going at this a la the as a point of duty of transparency and inclusion a la the 21st century. And right on time. Thank you.
Mr. Lohman? You left.
Hi. I need to respond. You do an excellent job with us. A lot of you remember John Peterson was the former president before myself. John Peterson sits on our bargaining team right now. I give him the task of really working with the numbers. And John, there's nobody we've dealt with in this district that's been more transparent, more open. So thank you for that, and I'll be honest. I don't think anybody in the community that's gone and asked for that information has been denied. So when we talk about transparency, we see it alive and well. So thank you. Thank you again for the invitation to be a part of the learning that took place at the beginning of this year. Association was just invited the last couple of days to take part with the district management team in dealing with the multiplier and some of those learnings. And just thank you. Look forward to taking some of that back to our association and. Hopefully that spreads through our different school districts. The music program, thank you for that presentation and the work that we put into that. You're right, a lot has improved. We're really glad to come from a program or a place we were 5 years ago where very few students had access to music to a place we are now where we're really looking for that native genius in some of our students that maybe otherwise wasn't found in other places. And with that said, just have a fantastic year, and thank you, the board, for even spending time in the summer to have these meetings. So thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you. Next, I want to announce that the board has intention of taking applications to interview and appoint a personnel commissioner and establish a public hearing on August 10th, 2017, to receive public input on the board's appointee. The term of office shall be December 5th, 2017 through December 1st, 2020. Can I have a motion to approve the annual declaration of need for the 2017-18 school year? Any discussion? David?
I just have that one item. Where is it? It's on page 3. I think I sent that to you.
Mm-hmm. Regarding a district intern program?
It says, has your agency established a district intern program? And we checked no, and it said, if no, explain. and there was nothing written there.
And so we do not, the Roland Unified School District does not have a district intern program, and we will, in terms of look at that before that is submitted. School districts do not offer an intern program because that's for credentialing purposes. We leave that responsibility to our colleges and universities.
Yeah, I was just more concerned
that
it was blank.
Yeah, it will be complete prior to submission.
Any other comments? May I have a motion? Did I already get the motion? I'm sorry. Let's vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Job description, Director of Innovation and Instruction. I'd like to have a motion to approve the job description of Director of Innovation and Instruction.
I make a motion. I'll second.
Discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next discussion item is to discuss adding the word transparency to district core values. I'm going to turn this first part over to Dr. Mitchell, then the board will discuss it.
So as it states in the board agenda, a member of the public who has shared this evening, Mr. Humphreys, has requested that an item be placed on the board agenda for the board's consideration of adding the word transparency to district core values. So I think it's important, and I tried to capture it when we developed this board agenda item, that the core values, the development of our core values, was an inclusive process that involved staff, parents, community members, and students. And I do know that in its original inception, David Malkin served on the committee as a parent when Ron Leone was our superintendent, and it had also been done again through a strategic planning process with Maria Ott was the superintendent. And so students are a part of what the work that happens in our district, and our students engage in our LCAP process, and our students also engaged in this discussion. In looking at the core values, currently our core values, which were agreed upon by the committees, are integrity, excellence, respect, safety, student-centered focus, responsibility, and accountability. In addition to core values, our board has district directions, and beginning in 2015, our board has adopted each year district directions, and transparency has been included in those district directions. It is in district direction number 3, communication and collaboration. It is part of that main heading for the expectations that we have within our organization. So this is a discussion item for the board to have a conversation whether or not it is of interest to the board or to talk about how we do provide transparency or areas where we have growth in the area of transparency. So I'd be happy to provide any other background and turn it back over to you.
Who'd like to go first? Mrs. Pride?
Sure, why not? While I can respect the right of a community member to make such a request, I think that this one is not rooted in actual desire for transparency. I think that, as indicated by Mr. Lohman, that transparency is alive and well in the district, and we've also heard that from our community members, our parents, our teachers, our students, and we've seen it as a result of several surveys that have gone out over the past year or so as well. In addition, I feel that the definition of transparency by said community member may differ greatly from the definition of transparency by others, including myself as a board member, and that if we added this, I still don't believe that it would solve the questions of said community member. So at this point, I think that the core values that the district already has in place are strong enough, and that if they were to be changed, that it should go through the full process as before with input from various stakeholders, including our students and teachers and classified and parents, before any of those things should be changed. And at this time, with us being so busy in the with moving forward with our instructional programs, strengthening our instructional programs and our music programs and everything else that we're doing. I don't think that's an undertaking that should occur right now. So maybe table it for when we do revisit the core values. But at this time, I don't think that it's something that the district staff should be spending time on.
Thank you, Ms. Pride. Mr. Malkin?
Oh, when in doubt, you Google it. So I just Googled leadership buzzwords, and there's a long list. Focus is on there, which we have. Readiness, resolve, resilience, communication, strategic planning, operations, and it goes on and on and on. And I think that if you look at all leadership books, they're all going to have their own buzzwords that they have. You know, the buzzwords are good as far as maybe, you know, reminding you what you should be doing and what you should, you know, keep in the back of your mind when you're performing your duties. But I would hope that the effort would be more on evaluating us as leaders by our actions. And just as tonight when we've had a couple of people speak, that if you don't see us being transparent, then you bring it to our attention. If you see us being transparent, say something about it. But having a buzzword, transparency alone, doesn't guarantee anything. And if you look at our actions, I think that would mean a lot more. I do feel that periodically we should look at our core values on an annual basis and to see if they do need to be updated, as well as our strategic plan and other items that we have. But to make modifications during the year multiple times, I don't think is a good idea. I think it should be done as a planned activity, maybe once a year, every 2 years, to see if we're on track and see if we want to change things. And I welcome suggestions, and I think we should keep them on file, and then when we do review our core plan, our core values, that we bring that file out and look at them at that time.
Thank you. Ms. Friedman?
I just think that we're very transparent, and the audio recordings show that, and so many other things. And so I just want to comment that I believe the district is transparent in everything, and a word added does not change anything.
Mr. Chen?
Yes, I did Google transparency on the website and look for the other government agencies and other districts, their core value or the how they use this word as transparency, and I don't see other districts or other government agencies put transparency on their core value, but transparency is a essential element for any government agencies. But we are transparent. We are not hiding anything, and the public requests any information, and we always respond to the public for any information and ask it for. So I agree transparency is a important factor, but at this time I think it's not the time for us to make any change to the core value. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. I have a lot to say on this one. When I first came onto the board in 2013, this board has pushed for improving transparency. And there was really not much improvement until Dr. Mitchell and the current cabinet came on board. We started with more study sessions. We improved the way the agenda was set up so people could easily understand and get the information they needed. And communication got better and better, and it's now much better. It hurts me to see people complaining or a person complaining about 2008 and 2009 and blaming staff for things that happened then when they had nothing to do with it. I'd like to see people who really want us to get ahead start now and move forward. If we're doing something wrong tomorrow, You come to us and tell us that. Don't blast us in a board meeting. Just come, write a letter. You know, let us know. We're people. We're part of this community. This board has more community input than any board I can remember. We go to things in the community. We make sure that our staff goes out and speaks at meetings. We want the information out there. We're not trying to keep it a secret. And transparency means different things to various people. So I'm going to ask a few questions. Do we allow the public to attend the board meetings? Yes, that's part of transparency. Has the board and the administration improved information on agendas? Yes. Are the minutes now available in a timely fashion? When I came on the board, we didn't get the minutes for 6 months. You know, they're caught up now. We get them in 1 month, and they're online for people to see. As soon as we authorize them, and they're on the website. And if it's taking too long, come to staff and let them know. Do we allow the public to attend the CBOC meetings and make comments? Has the workings of the CBOC committee improved? I'm going to tell you now, yes, vastly. They used to meet once a month. I'm sorry, they used to meet once a year. They didn't have a quorum. Nobody saw the minutes for years. It was a mess. And it was this board that put pressure on administration to try to improve it. And it's gotten better. It's a lot better now. It's not perfect. Nothing in this district is perfect. But it's a lot better, and it's due to transparency. We mentioned the audio tapes. No, we're not videotaping. There's a very small segment of the community that's asking for that. And when we think it's important to do more, we will. Sometimes we're being compared to huge districts with city governance. And those cities can provide things for their board that we don't have to be able to do. So just to reiterate. But we don't stop Mr. Humphreys or anybody else from doing the same. So, you know, I think that's pretty transparent. The district goals that were mentioned both tonight more than once do include transparency. Unfortunately, when I came onto this board, everything I did, I thought of transparency. Just because it's not a word on our core values doesn't mean we're not all thinking about it. Staff is thinking about it. The board members are thinking about it. That's our job. Maybe you don't think we're doing a good job at that. Let us know. But I'm going to tell you now, it's a lot better than it was. Do policies include a mechanism for letting us improve them and bring them up to date? And is the public aware, and do they get to hear that? Obviously, that's yes. We've done that on several different parts of our policies. The parents, the information to the community is another part of transparency. And I tell you again, when we first were on this board and the LCAP meeting started, those LCAP meetings were a mess. Now we have good parent meetings, the parents have input, staff has input, community has input, and it's made the system better. It really has made it a lot better. Our fiscal components. We're a lot more transparent now so people can understand what's going on. If somebody has a complaint about fiscal, don't complain what happened 5 years ago. Complain today and let us know how we can fix it. Someone will talk to you and we'll do our best to do it. Again, we're not perfect. Reading my notes here, I'm sorry. Sometimes we hear complaints that people want to think we're not being transparent because employees leave and we haven't told all about it. We haven't told the whole story. Well, if you were Joe Smith, an employee, and for one reason or another, either you left or you were terminated or something, would you want your name in front of a board meeting? By law, we cannot do that. So you're not going to hear names of employees as complaining about employees by name at this board meeting. And I know I've heard complaints about that in the past. So unfortunately, sometimes people ask us for something that we can't provide, and right away, oh, you're not being transparent. That's not so. We're obligated by law to not be able to release certain things, and we do our best to tell what we can. So to me, this board is doing a good job with administration at our side. Again, if there's something you want to come one at a time and say, you know, we don't understand this, we'll be happy to help. But we can use your help, and we hope that when you come up to say something at the podium, if you think we're not being transparent, you will tell us. And not just insult us, but come and tell us really how we can make it better. We're all in this together, and we work better as a team when we feel that staff is appreciated and the board is appreciated. So that's what I have to say, and I'm going to tell the board that it's up to us to decide with time if we want to put this as an item going forward. My suggestion to the board, I think, was made by one of the other board members when we have our next workshop. Perhaps we talk about it as a group and we decide if we need to bring a team back together. The board does not decide the core values. The community and stakeholders help us. We authorize what they say if we think they're correct. And, you know, when they adopted these, I guess transparency wasn't the catchword. So thank you. Okay, next we go to pupil personnel. I'm sorry. RSUSD student number 151606, readmission and expulsion. May I have a motion to readmit student 15-1606 to the rolling? Oops, I'm sorry, I've skipped forward. Okay, I skipped one. I tried to cut my notes down so they weren't 40 pages. May I have a motion to approve the expulsion of student 17-1801 from all schools and programs at Roland Unified School District effective July 28, 2017, with referral to a county or alternate school outside the district for placement in an educational program? Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried, 5-0. Next, student 15-1606, readmission from expulsion. May I have a motion to readmit student 15-1606 to the Roland Unified School District effective July 28, 2017, with placement at Roland High School?
I'll make that
motion.
Second.
Ooh, nice. Okay. Yeah, I have a tie. We better give Carrie a turn. Okay. He hasn't had one for a while. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Next is student 15-1614, readmission from expulsion. May I have a motion to readmit student 15-1614 to the Roland Unified School District effective July 28, 2017, with placement at Santa Ana High School? Santana. I always say that. I'm so sorry. I know what it is. May I have a motion? Second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried. Dr. Mitchell needs to pull an item.
In looking prior to the board taking action on consent, as you know, we made some corrections to the HR report, which was item 8D7 at the start of the meeting. I'd request that that item be pulled and be taken separately, please.
Okay, what was it again?
8D7.
Okay, let me just make a note here. Okay. All the items in consent calendar are considered by the board to be routine or sufficiently supported by prior reference material and information and will be taken as a whole. May I have a motion to approve the items on the consent calendar with the removal of item 8D7 for separate discussion and action.
I make a motion. Oh.
I'll second.
Any discussion on that? Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll move to item 8D7. I'm going to turn that over to you, Dr. Mitchell.
Thank you. Noted at the start of the meeting, this item has been corrected, and there is the corrected copy is online and is in front of you at your table. This item was pulled to make sure that the public knew those corrections had been made and also to give the opportunity for individual board members to vote on this item in case anyone needs to recuse themselves.
May I have a motion to approve Human Resources Action Report 17-18-1? Second?
Second.
Any discussion?
What I do?
Okay. Mrs. Pride, do you need to recuse yourself on this item?
Yes, I do. My daughter does some teching for the choir shows, and okay. She's on there.
Okay. We won't have you vote on this then.
Thank you.
Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Those recuse?
Aye.
Okay. We have 4 in favor and 1 recuse. Next, we'll move on to the conference section. And I want to announce that there will be a public hearing held in our boardroom at 1830 South Nogales Street, Roland Heights, on August 10th at 6 p.m. to hear about the filling of the vacancy on the Personnel Commission. So this is mainly an announcement, just to let everybody know. Come at 6 o'clock, and the public hearing will be part of our agenda. Okay, we move on to board comments. And board, I have to tell you, now that we've been off all these weeks, I forgot who gave theirs last. But maybe we'll start with Mr. Chen for board comments tonight.
I'm glad the summer is over. And
you are.
You go back, it's going to work. Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Says,
it was a busy summer for me. And new school year, and also the new staff. Congratulate 5 new staff, and we approve this evening. And congratulate Kim, Craig, and June, and Amy, and wish them the best. And thank you for the music presentation. And music is very. The music education for the young children is very important, and it will benefit the children at a young age. And the young children learning music help them to improve their ability in memory and all other capabilities, and that's so very, very helpful for them and very beneficial, and I'm glad the program is very successful so far. Yeah. And that's it. Oh, and one more thing on the summer. I attend the robotic the presentation in Charlene, and that was amazing. The young kids can build the very sophisticated robot, and perform a very difficult, very complex action, dancing, in the platform. So, I think that's a combination of the effort from the teachers, the parents, and the student themselves, and the administrators to. Organize the program, and that's a very very impressive. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. Mrs. Pride?
I also want to welcome the new hires that were introduced tonight. I strongly believe that each one of them will be very successful in their positions and were great hires. I also want to thank Mr. Lohman again for your comments and support of the direction that the district is headed in. We appreciate that. Since the last board meeting at ROP board meeting, we've had two presentations from students and instructors from the summer middle school program. One was robotics and one was healthcare occupations. And those were both very informative, very wonderful programs. Roland students were involved in one of them, and the students came and demonstrated some of their the robotics that they put together during the summer and some catapults, and yeah, it was really good, and they were really excited about it. Not sure they wanted to pursue engineering just yet, but they were really excited about what they got to learn during the programs. So those presentations were really nice. Thank you to Miriam Kim on the music program presentation, and to the district leadership for taking into consideration all of the suggestions and bumps that that had occurred during the first year of implementation, which is bound to happen, but for addressing them so quickly. That's what really makes the difference in making a program successful. So thank you for that. And looking forward to the new school year, and hope all of you have a good one.
Thank you. Mr. Malkin?
Do this a little bit differently this time. Last week, we lost an important member in our community, Gravine Anderson. I don't know if many people know Gravine. I have the services here. But the reason I bring that up is that Gravine and her husband, Dean, moved to Roland Heights in 1956, and they've been a very important factor in our community as well as our school district. Gravine's husband, Dean, or Andy as they call them, was a school board member from 1971 to 1993. For 22 years, he sat on this dais here. And he was also, he also served on the committee, and he was charter member of the Roland High School Stadium Committee. He was a member of the first one of the charter members of the Roland Heights Community and Coordinating Council, and he was also one of the first members of the Roland Personnel Commission. So you can see they really have put a footprint in our district. In addition to that, they both were very active in our PTA, our football games, and other activities in our district. Just for information, this is when Dean ran for school board, I was looking at one of his speeches, and it was kind of interesting to look at it in retrospect. This was in 1985. How to end the overcrowding that has plagued our Roland Unified School District that has kept 8 school board candidates at odds with each other. We all do agree that there's overcrowding in the two high schools, Roland and Nogales, where officials said enrollment is 1,125 more than it should be. 41 portable classrooms have already been installed to handle the overflow, but officials said they're still running out of space. Several candidates want to have additional portable classrooms, whereas others want to build a new school. These candidates will fight this out in the current election, 1985. So you can see that both Gravine and Dean were very influential, not only in our community, but our school district. And I just wanted to use my time to honor them at this board meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Malcolm. Very nice. Ms. Friedman?
How interesting. Okay. Thank you, you guys, for sticking out for so long. I attended the Fine Arts Academy day camp at Hurley, and again, Roseanne Forget did a great job going to the different classes where the parents and kids were working together, the little ones. And then at the ROP, the presentation was great with the kids, and we had the ROP Academy was available for all 7th and 8th graders at 3 different Roland schools. And it was really nice because they had a big meeting for the parents to come, and the students were in groups, and they did all these experiments and everything. Then you ask questions, and it was really terrific. As I walked up to Oswald, a gentleman was greeting all the students as they came in and saying good morning. And I thought, who is this? I had to go over and say I was really impressed with him. And it happened to be Gus Lopez, who was subbing for our principal at Oswald. So that was really nice to see. I also visited schools that were in summer session, and I attended the RHCCC meeting on Monday, where Dr. Mitchell gave a great presentation. I wanted to thank the district team for getting all of our schools ready in time to start the new school year. All that hard work is very much appreciated, and school is almost going to begin, and I'm sure it will be another wonderful, great school year. I hope everyone enjoyed their summer vacation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Friedman. First of all, I want to make a comment on our board meetings changing to Thursday. I think I like it. I hope you do. And changing it to we start at 4:30 and the open meeting starts at 6. Usually gives people enough time to get here, get home, and come. So I think I like it. So it was a good change. And actually, it gives the board a few more days to go over their material, because before we would get our material on Friday and we had our board meeting on Tuesday. This way, we still get it on Friday, but we don't have our meeting till Thursday. It gives us more days to go over the information and research it. I'll make the rest of my comments short. You heard enough from me tonight. A couple of community announcements, and the first one I'm going to probably throw the board for a loop, but I'm going to make it anyway. I received an invitation from La Puente to attend their National Community Night Out. It's on August 1st, and every community is having the same thing on the same night, so obviously we can't go to all. I'm going to throw it out to the board to consider, and maybe you could go through, Dr. Mitchell, since we all have a different community that our district encompasses, is there a chance that you could each just stop in and say hello and represent our board? You don't have to stay long. I don't want to... Huh?
National Night Out.
August 1st. And... I think we've got the four communities. I think we just about have representation for each one. So please consider it so we're not all at one and then we don't go to some of the others, because I think our presence at the other communities is important. We're invited to a lot of things that we can't attend to, but maybe we could make this effort. August 12th, it's a Saturday, from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., the community is going to have a cannabis marijuana community input session at the Roland Heights Community Center. And I'd really like our district to have some input, because there are some things that we can get across to the county. It doesn't sound to me that Supervisor Hahn is real hot about this cannabis sale in the community anyway. But the thing we want to be careful is to try to keep any of these shops as far away from our pathways that students, you know, go on their way to school and on their way from. I know there are laws right now that that are about liquor stores and how close they can be to campuses, but I think we could even be tougher with this one, especially near our high schools. So if you can attend, do. Think about it for a while, do some reading and research, and come and make your comments, because the county wants to hear from us. Again, August 12th, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. and it's at the community center. So those are my comments, and I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 7:18. Can I have a motion to do that? Second? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned.